भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयो मुदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, Anar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Shilvyasadev, the author, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our dear most spiritual master. Nasta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious of the heart is almost completely destroyed, and thus loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So continuing with our readings of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Text number 31. Tam tadvad artam upalabhya jiganivasa jiganivasa stotram ishamya divijay saha samstuvadbhi chandomayena garudena samuyamanas chakrayudo Vyagamad Ashu Yato Gajendra Tamtadvarartam Upalabhya Jaganivasa. Srotram Nishamya Divijay Sahasangstuvadhi. Chando mayena garudena samuyamanas chakrayudo bayagamad ashuyato gajendra tam tadvarartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Srotram nishamya divijay sahasamstuvadbhi. Chando mayena garudena samuyamanas. Chakra yudobhya gamada shuyato gajendra. Tam tadvarartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Stotram nishamya divijay sahasastuvadbhi. Chando mayena garudena samuyamanas. Chakra yudobhya gamada shuyato gajendra. Tam dhadvarartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Tam Sotram nishamya divijaya shasham stuvadhi. Chando mayena gurude samudyamanas. Chakra yudovya gamara siyato gajendra. Tam tad varartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Srotram nishamya dvijiyaya sarum sanjivadhi. Chando mayena gurudena samuyamanas. Chakra yudovya gamara shiyato gajendra. Tam tad varartam ulalabhya jagannivasa. Srotram nishamya divijaya sahasam stutabhi. Chando mayena gurudena samuyamanas. Chakra yudovya gamara shiyato gajendra. Marjis? Tam tad varartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Stotram nishamya divijay sahasam stuvabhi. Chando mayena gurudena samuyamana. Chakra yudovya gamara shiyato gajendra. Tam tad varartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Srotram nishamya divijaya sahasam stuvadhi. Domayena gurudena samuyamanas. Chakra yudovya gamara siyato gajendra. Tam tad varartam upalabhya jaganivasa. Stotram nishamya divijaya sahasam stuvadhi. Chando mayena garude samuyamanas. Chakra yudobhya gamara yato gajendra. Tam under him, Gajendra. Tadvat, in that way. Artam, who was very depressed because of being attacked by the crocodile. Upalabhya, understanding. Jigat Nivasa, the Lord, who exists everywhere. Stotram, the prayer. Nishamya, hearing. Divijaya, the denizens of the heavenly planets. Saha, with. Sangstuvadbihi, who were offering their prayers also. Chandomayena, with the speed he desired. Garudena, by Garuda. Samuyamana, being carried. Chakra, carrying his disc. Ayuda, and other weapons, like the club. Abhyagamat, arrived. Ashu, immediately. Yata, where? Gajendra, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was situated. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, after understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods who were offering prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed, according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. Can repeat? After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods who were offering prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed, according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically hints that since Gajendra was in such a difficult position and was praying for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods, who could have immediately gone to his rescue, hesitated to go there. Since they considered Gajendra's prayer to be directed toward the Lord, they felt offended. And this in itself was offensive. Consequently, when the Lord went there, they also went and offered prayers to the Lord so that their offense might be excused. Translation again. After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods who were offering prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed, according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. Oma jnana tamananda sya gnanjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but my eternal spiritual master, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya, Ashtatara Sarishi Srimad Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances under his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? So this is coming up to a very exciting part in this pastime. So many prayers Gajendra is reciting. Here is some dumb elephant that's sporting with his wives in a heavenly situation and is in the most unexpected situation while he's enjoying in the water, shooting his she elephants with water and enjoying the atmosphere. And the beginning of the chapter talked about the very heavenly atmosphere that was there. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a crocodile, grabs Gajendra by the leg, and they start tussling and struggling for not just a short period of time, not just a few years, but 1,000 years. 1,000 years, Gajendra is struggling with the crocodile. Incredible. That's a struggle. We hear or we see on TV some of these prize fights, and they're lucky if they can go through like a few rounds before somebody gets knocked out. But here's the elephant struggling with the crocodile for 1,000 years. Almost practically inconceivable. Then eventually, towards the end of their struggle, Gajendra is forced into, as he's dying and realizing the futility of his struggle, he's shocked into remembering the prayers that he memorized in his past life. And it's not just one or two prayers that Gajendra is reciting. It's a total of about 22 prayers. And although he's not, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, he's not specifically identifying which personality he's offering the prayers to, but he's offering the prayers to the Supreme. Now, throughout all his struggle, it's suddenly become worth it. As Krishna has arrived suddenly on the back of Garuda. Such an amazing vision there. There's a wonderful picture in the Bhagavatam that shows Krishna appearing. And as Krishna appears, and we'll read, I don't want to steal the thunder of the next few verses, but we'll read how Gajendra, with his last ounce of strength, as he sees in ecstasy the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing on the back of Garuda with all his personal paraphernalia, Gajendra somehow finds the strength to put his trunk in the water and hold up a lotus flower to offer it to the Lord. Such an amazing vision and such a perfect completion for anyone's life. Srila Prabhupada explains several times in different purports how this surrendering process to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can award a similar result as Gajendra received. So how much sincere we should be in our prayers to obtain such an amazing benediction as Garuda achieved. It's kind of interesting, Naikama Prabhu read in the previous verse how the demigods, they weren't angry. They just considered that, well, he's offering prayers to the Supreme. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, when the root of the tree is watered, all the different branches and leaves and twigs automatically become satisfied. So similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, then everyone else in creation is automatically worshipped, including the demigods. So Prabhupada explains in the previous purport that the demigods were angry. And now in this purport, we're reading how they actually felt offended that this elephant who's in distress, why he didn't approach us. Why didn't he pray to us? He's praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they actually felt offended. How could they feel offended? He's offering prayers to the Supreme Person to the extent of whatever knowledge he had. And so there's seems to be a touch of envy here that the demigods have. And so this is very, very instructive in this verse. And it just shows that even one may achieve the most opulent position, most opulent, powerful position in the universe, as we also read in so many pastimes with King Indra, along with it comes a concomitant aspect of the tendency to forget one's position and to think one is a supreme controller. So this is the danger of accepting any position within this material world, because the most subtle element in this material world is what? Who knows? It's false ego. And because everything is created out of the false ego. False ego means our false idea of who we really are. So, pure devotional service Ahaitukiya Pratiyata should be executed, according to Rupa Goswami, free from any desire for fruitive activities or mental speculation or any material motive. And then when we'll actually become satisfied in heart. And this is actually what we're looking for in life. We're looking for this satisfaction. And this satisfaction comes in the highest degree by understanding and becoming situated in our original constitutional position. Jivera Srupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. And our original constitutional position is that of servants of Krishna. But in the material world, we don't want to serve. We think that trying to become the supreme controller is the most enviable, is the most pleasurable situation. But it's not. And we see again and again, by example, of so many people within this mundane sphere of activities in this world become endlessly frustrated. The more power, the more wealth, the more material influence they have. Srila Prabhupada's a nice story. When Srila Prabhupada was visiting Dainapan, who were the publishers of the books after after Macmillan, Prabhupada would go to Japan and meet with Dainapan. And so he asked them at one point, he said, asked one of the men in their company, he says, what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? And the man had a stack of business cards, and he put his card, took his card off the bottom and put it on the top of the stack, indicating that that was basically his purpose in life, is to become number one in the company. So because our constitutional position is we can never become number one, we're always at least number two. We're not even number two or number three or number four or anything like that. Because Krishna expands in so many different forms. He expands as Balaram. He expands as Sankarshan. He expands as a Chaturvyuha. He expands then as a Purusha incarnations, Mahavishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The living entities, we're not even in any of that category. We're marginal energy. And we're unlimited. There's so many unlimited jiva souls who are serving Krishna. So we're very, very, very insignificant. And the purpose and the most exalted state of Krishna consciousness is to realize how insignificant we really are. And to the extent we realize our insignificance, to that extent our bliss, our happiness, our satisfaction in life increases more and more and more and more. And so advanced devotees, they don't desire any position within this material world. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, talks about how devotees generally don't take any position within the material world because they have duties of a much higher nature to execute. And these duties are to realize Krishna within every aspect of his creation. As is stated here in this verse, Krishna is everywhere. He's within everyone's heart. And if we develop a proper understanding of our true insignificance and our complete dependence on Krishna, we will realize Krishna within our heart and within everyone's heart. And according to Krishna's promise, we will never be separated from him. So this is a little bit of a... when I read this verse, and I read... I heard Naikama reading, Prabhu reading yesterday's verse, it seemed like a contradiction. Prabhupada stated that the demigods didn't become angry. And it says in this verse that the demigods felt offended So I had to call a friend of mine who went into Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries on the Bhagavatam and pulled out some insights from that. And it was actually quite interesting. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was explaining how the demigods weren't even too concerned. They weren't like angry. They weren't concerned that, you know, he wasn't. I mean, they were concerned because they felt offended. But when Gajendra was offering their prayers, they were thinking, oh, he's just offering prayers. He doesn't even know exactly who he's offering them to. You know, he'll probably just end up dying like that. They actually thought like that. They thought, Krishna will never appear. And all of a sudden, Krishna appeared on the back of Garuda. All the demigods are like, whoa. And so they had to appear also and offer prayers to the Lord to forgive their offense. So this theme of offenses, I thought we'd touch upon a little bit. First of all, it's good to remember that this desire to be the supreme controller is one of the root causes of our material disease. It keeps us bound within the jurisdiction of the three modes, tightly bound up within the three modes of material nature. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam that the relation of servant and served is the most congenial form of intimacy. And this is good to remember in all our relationships, especially in our relationship with our spouses like that, and in all our relationships, that if we simply remember who we are as eternal servants, then we'll always come out ahead in life, no matter what material situation is handed us. And she, and Queen Kunti's prayers, she says that, I wish all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse is that generally the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. And I was reflecting on how incredible, how instructive this pastime of Gajendra is. And we're unlimitedly, our fortune is, good fortune is unlimited, that we can come to Srimad Bhagavatam class day after day after day and hear this pastime, this amazingly wonderful pastime, and etch this vision of the Lord on the back of Garuda coming to save Gajendra into our mind, and this situation of Gajendra being struggling with the alligator, with the crocodile, for 1,000 years. And understand this is exactly our position within the material world. Not at the time of death, but every single day. Since Srila Prabhupada mentions this crocodile is the crocodile of time. And time has got us. Like people say, well, you know, how old are you? I'm 30 years old, I'm 50, I'm 60 years old. But actually, more accurately, is we're 30 years dead. 30, 50 years dead, 60 years dead. And we're in the process now of dying. We are already caught by the crocodile of time, and it's only a matter of time. And I think this is one of the reasons, in my mind, why Krishna, you know, because everything Krishna does, he wants to benefit everyone. So this pastime of struggling in the water for 1,000 years shows that no matter how long our life is, we're all struggling within the material world. And so we all had better become serious now and realize that crocodiles got us. And therefore, very sincerely, daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, offer our prayers to Krishna like that. Kunti Devi says, "My Lord, your lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling." Srila Prabhupada's purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastra that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person can utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, inasmuch as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. In the last few minutes of class, I wanted to touch upon something. There are many offenses mentioned, and many of them are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. One should not lay down in front of the deity. One should not come before the deity in a contaminated state. One should not offer flowers without fragrance to the deities. How many people were aware of this offense? This is stated right in the Nectar of Devotion. Of course, one should not pass air in front of the deity. Therefore, it's mentioned that one should wait to digest one's food before one comes in front of the deity. The deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we have that realization or not, he is. And we can see, especially when devotees are in front of the Lord chanting in Sankirtan, you can see the level of bliss increase more and more and more. And you can see the deities, those with spiritual vision can see the deities reciprocating with the devotees. It says that those who are spiritually advanced like to dance before the deity with similarly advanced devotees like that. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in this age one need not go to a secluded place to perform austerities. Indeed, one can travel to the different temples where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally present and get so much benefit by having the personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead like that. So Krishna is so unlimitedly merciful that he's agreed to appear as a deity here. So we should remember and be careful that Krishna is personally present here, and be careful not to commit offenses. It explains that one of the most grievous offenses is something called Maryada Vyatikrama, which means to impertinently surpass one's authority. Just like, for example, Srila Prabhupada has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's given us his purports. He's given us his classes. And if you analyze Srila Prabhupada's classes and his purports, although Srila Prabhupada is on a level of spiritual advancement which we can only imagine, still, Prabhupada is so follows so exactly in the line of disciplic succession that everything he says, he backs up with Shastra. And if we consider ourselves Prabhupada Nugas, and Prabhupada the founder, char of the movement, and our ultimate example in this regard, then we should follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. For example, we don't read, we don't comment on purports in Srimad Bhagavatam that don't have Srila Prabhupada's purport. In fact, when we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, our commentary should be on Srila Prabhupada's purport. It shouldn't be connected with Srila Prabhupada's purport. And this is following in the footsteps of the spiritual master. So I'll just read this briefly. I did want to mention also, it was really nice hearing Savas read, Savas Prabhu read this morning in the Namamrita. He read a purport to a verse in the second chapter of first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he mentioned that the devotees' knowledge, another name for it is called parampara, something to that effect. Actually, I have the purport right here. Srila Prabhupada says, perfect knowledge is called parampara. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. That's Prabhupada's giving another definition for parampara, which is perfect knowledge. Parampara is the unbroken line of the civil succession. And therefore, by receiving our tradition in parampara, automatically one gets perfect knowledge or deductive knowledge, coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver who is bona fide by service and surrender. So just briefly, I'm going to read this definition. An explanation of Maryada Vyatikrama, which is from the purport in the third canto, in the pastime of Vidura coming to take, meeting Uddhava and ultimately taking instruction from Maitreya Rishi. Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of Maryada Vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of Maryada Vyatikrama, because by doing so one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame, and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. And I take it from this Prabhupada's talking, techniques of spiritual science, etiquette in spiritual science, following proper etiquette. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person. But he was well-versed also, because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else. But Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. So the Prabhupada continues, one should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of Maryada Vyatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? So Vasprabhu.
In Shastra, in other words, you know, you can't, maybe can't find it in a purport or in a Bhagavatam. But would you consider those words from Srila Prabhupada to be like Shastra?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I'm saying that Prabhupada has given instruction, and that instruction you may not find, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You may not find a direct instruction, but if Prabhupada has given instructions like that, so would you consider those instructions to be Shastra?
I would consider them to be very much Shastra. And Srila Prabhupada is the designated pure devotee in the unbroken line of disciplic succession, which we have. We know everyone in that line. And we have history of these great personalities. And because the spiritual master is a direct is the external manifestation of super soul. And because we do not have the qualification to go to Krishna directly, therefore, our relationship with the spiritual master is most important. And therefore, the instructions of the spiritual master, according to Shastra, should be taken as one's life and soul. Now, having said that, it's also very important that we don't take things out of context, because that's a very popular thing to do, because Prabhupada's words are so powerful, and if we take them as just as Shastra, then one can very easily try to take things out of context to try to prove one's point. And that's why our system in Vaishnavism is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And so we have a whole process of doing things in such a way so we can avoid confusion and so we can avoid offense. But there, I also think, and I'm sure I agree with you, Svabhas, and many other devotees, that whoever says that some things Prabhupada says we can take as Shastra, and other things are not absolute, that in and of itself possibly indicates what we've been reading here about the very serious offense of Maryada Vyatikrama.
Thank you. That's very, very sweet. Thank you.
Sarva Prabhu.
Also, every day we pray, someone asked me that same question. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuriya Aikya, that the words emanating from your lotus mouth are, I forget the exact, what is it?
Are the only way where we can attain pure devotional service?
The words emanating from the lotus mouth are the only way by which you may attain pure devotional service. Means the words that are coming from Prabhupada's mouth, even Shastra or just Prabhupada's commenting, this is our life and soul, and this to us is Shastra. Amen.
Amen. Actually, yeah, it's, how does that verse go? My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. That's another very good point. Thank you, Sarva Prabhu. Any other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yes, Storm.
To
we cook without tasting or anything, because it's not for us to enjoy and we're doing it for Krishna. But if we're not very well versed in what flowers are fragrant, then how do we know which ones to pick if we can't smell them first?
That's a good question. I don't have any particular Shastric reference, and I avoid as much as possible smelling anything before I, because I worship Shalagram Shila, and the worship is very, very strict. And it explains, it's so strict, it actually explains if you drop one drop of bathing water, you have to go to hell for I don't know how long. And so what does it speak of, like, offering flowers before you offer? But sometimes, especially when I'm going to Trader Joe's, a lot of the flowers don't have fragrance. And I'm not going to offer a flower that doesn't have any fragrance. It has to be, like, some fragrance. So thinking of the Lord intently in my mind, praying that this is not my sense gratification, it's just for your pleasure, please forgive me, I sometimes will smell the flower to see if it's appropriate to offer the Lord. But in general, no, we don't smell flowers to offer the Lord. And generally we get flowers that are given already from Ravindranath or devotees who should know what flowers have fragrance and what flowers don't have fragrance. Although a lot of times flowers that are offered don't have any fragrance. But anyway.
Okay.
And there's so many flowers, even, you know, I mean, there's so many nice flowers that were offered this morning with nice fragrance. Anything else? It's getting late. Can we take one more question? Okay. Yes, Manuji.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the incredible class. I just have a comment that's real quick. When talking about Prabhupada and with everything he said, Shastra and everything, I don't know the answer to that, but I know in all the practical matters, the devotees followed Prabhupada perfectly when they first came, and reading all his letters and lectures and everything. He seemed to go to time, place, and circumstance. So for one person, he might say one thing, and then for another person, he might say another thing. But everything manifested perfectly after whatever he said happened. So we had temples coming up and money coming for the deities, and everything happened perfectly. And he did everything so incredibly that Giriraj Swami, when he gave a class once, he said, he asked Prabhupada, "What will we do when you leave?" And Prabhupada said, "That'll take intelligence." And therein lies the problem.
Mm. Nice point. Let's meditate on that. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.